You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. And in studio today, as usual, we have the all-knowing, the all-powerful
Wizard of Oz.
The Oz of our studio. Paul, how are you?
You know what? I'm still hung over from the wealth of knowledge that you imparted on last week's show about wine. I found that fascinating.
I thought you were going to say you're still hung over from lunch, but okay.
That could be too.
Well, the subject today, Paul, I think is going to be right up your alley. We spoke a little bit about not just financial planning, but retirement planning and the fact that you were going to work forever. So perhaps we have some ideas here that will allow you to work a little bit less than forever.
You know, and we were kiddingly saying off air that I'm in my 60s here, and the baby boomers are the one generation that is not ready for the next chapter here. You know, I still dress like I'm 30. I still think I'm 20. I'm going to live forever. I'm never going to retire. I'm never going to grow up. I'm the Peter Pan generation. And sooner or later, I got to start making some plans here.
Well, let's talk about that. But before I get any further, I want to make sure everyone knows we have in studio today as well, the Robin to my Batman, Letitia Birbaum, an advisor with me at Optivest Wealth Management. Letitia, how are you?
Thank you, Bart, for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Of course. So what Letitia and I have decided to do today is we are going to go over the kind of the financial planning 101. We can't go into too much depth in each of the individual areas. We're going to do that in future shows, but we want to at least give an overview of what financial planning is. So to start with, let me talk about the different subject or the different basically topics within financial planning. We'll dive into each one just a little bit in today's show. We have retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, estate planning, risk management, and business succession planning. So those are the six things we're going to just cover really briefly today. And on future shows, we're going to really dive into each of those individual areas. I think one of the biggest things to keep in mind with regards to financial planning is just the word planning. There's an old adage, I know it sounds kind of corny, but failing to plan is planning to fail. I think in financial planning with most things in life, at least for goals, you have to begin with the end in mind. I stole that too, but I still like it. The other thing I think is important when it comes to planning is for people to get really, I don't know, for lack of a better term, maybe introspective, to really understand what it is that they're trying to accomplish. You know, what are your goals, dreams, aspirations? One of the things that we do, we think it's very useful. We have it's called a discovery process. It's 61 questions. Usually it takes at least 90 minutes to go through this with a client. And we could dive down to more than just, you know, what assets do you have? What expenses do you have? But what inspires you? What do you want to accomplish? What sort of a legacy do you want to leave? Letitia, what kind of experience have you had with that in your career?
I think at the end of the day, when people really take the time to get to know what's important to them, or even spouses, a lot of times you'll see that they have different visions of what they thought their retirement was actually going to look like, or just how they're going to create their legacy. It's always nice to start that foundation if they have a conversation together. So a lot of times it's a process over a number of years to really complete, and it's something that people are always checking back in on. But the most important thing is they're actually taking the time to kind of figure out what's important to them, and maybe understanding sometimes they're different than each other.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because so important, and so many times have we found that spouses have not talked about this ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And then when they're sitting in our conference room, how different are their goals and aspirations in some areas, for sure. So it's a great time to kind of work through that. And sometimes one of the spouses has to maybe forego something to get to in light of the bigger plan, but certainly very important.
It's definitely one of my favorite parts of what we do, because we really get to understand what inspires them, what makes them tick, and really how they got to where they are today.
Yeah. Only because I think it's relevant, not from a sales perspective, but in our practice, almost every one of our clients will go through a financial planning process first before we even talk about how we're going to invest or what we're going to do, because I think it does two things. One, it allows the client to get to know more about us and how we operate, because we'll have gone through the process and spent the time with the financial plan. but at least as important for us to really get to know what's important to the client, both from a kind of a tactical point of view, like, hey, we've got taxes to deal with or whatnot, but also from a kind of a soft emotional point of view, we're like, well, what kind of legacy do you want to leave?
Yeah. Are we reaching your goals and how are we getting you there?
Right, right. So the first area that we talked about is called retirement planning. So that's, again, one of the areas. And so when it comes to retirement planning, another word that we use in kind of today's environment, and we'll use Paul as an example here again, too, because Paul loves what he does. He may be able to retire, but, you know, he loves doing a show and wants to continue to do it. So we call that financial independence. Mm-hmm. Hey, if I want to take a month off or 2 months off and sail around the world, or if I want to go work for a charity, or I want to, you know, be a golf pro, whatever it is, to have the financial ability to do so. So we use the terms interchangeably. Things that are super important there, just about any financial software has what they call retirement planning software. Most of them we have found are not super comprehensive and leave out things that overall we think are super important. Here's an example. One, to be able to apply inflation to expenses. Some programs will allow that, but I think more importantly, to be able to apply inflation to the right expenses. For example, property tax, mortgage payment. It's certainly a monthly bill. In this case, one's at least a liability, but it's not going to be impacted by inflation. Inflation can go to 10% in your mortgage. As long as you don't refi your mortgage is going to stay the same. Same with your property tax. So I think that's super important. Another thing is, at least in our plans, and depending on the client, depending on, you know, goals, needs, and so forth, throwing in a miscellaneous expense beyond what people always have a bucket called miscellaneous expense, things they can't really account for. But every 5 years or so, we have to have a bucket, don't you think?
Absolutely. Sometimes I have to get a new car every few years, or even if you're saying during retirement years, taking that in consideration of saying, okay, in 10 years, maybe I'm going to get a car, or my spouse is going to get a car, or miscellaneous medical
car, new roof on the house. You know, there's so many. I'm sure you've seen this too, Leticia. The people who start remodeling their homes during retirement, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of money, and I get it. This is, you know, this is the house they want to stay in for the rest of their lives, but it's a lot of money. And so we have to make sure that that's factored in.
I think also along the lines of retirement as well is just the basics. Like, are they, if they're not retired yet, are they actually invested in their right retirement vehicle overall?
That brings up a really good point. So there are so many different types of retirement plans, and something I'll probably say at least one more time on the show. Each of these are separate components and really could be a standalone. Sometimes Leticia and I have clients come up, hey, can you just do a retirement plan for us? Sure, we can. But it's not an island, right? Because things that we do in a retirement plan also involve investing. And that's another component of a financial plan. Also involve taxes or tax reduction. So there is some components that certainly are related. So yes, for our clients who are still working, whether they own a company or are a high paid executive, using whatever given retirement plans that are available. So most people, I think, have heard of a 401k. Nonprofits have their version of a 401k called a 403b. There's profit sharing plans, defined benefit plans, simple 401ks. I mean, the list goes on and on. So it's just a matter of make sure you're using the right plan to accomplish the right goal.
Correct.
Where we feel we have the most ability to help someone with their retirement planning is if they're either self-employed or maybe just have a spouse as an employee. So it could be a professional or a physician, perhaps. Because to be able to layer on the different retirement plans is really super effective. We have a client recently, has this just a sole practitioner. Between all the retirement plans, he was able to do up to, and he's under 50 years old, about $240,000 per year in his retirement plan. That's a lot more than a $22,000 401k.
Exactly.
It's super, super helpful. I think the other thing with retirement planning that we're paying attention to is how long are you going to have certain expenses? Most people out of the gate, their travel expenses are, you know, usually off the chart. You know, it could be $20,000 to $50,000 a year. We're really going to go on some trips, but they're certainly not going to do that for their entire life. Our burnout rate is about 10 to 15 years, I think, is what we've seen.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So to make sure that that's applied properly. And at the end of the day, at least as it applies to this, just making sure that you have the right expenses, apply the right inflation, apply the right growth rate, and the right expenses through the right amount of time.
And I think when you look at retirement overall, a lot of times when people are coming in, they're starting with the question is, can I retire? And if I can retire, can I maintain the same lifestyle and legacy that I'm living right now? And so all these tools that you're saying for the retirement planning is the aspects that we actually use to solve these questions for our clients.
Yeah. And we've been, again, using the term together, the financial independence. We've recently had clients that have had a liquidation event with a sale of a company, relatively young from a retirement standpoint at around 50 years old. But to your point about the lifestyle, So especially with this big influx of money, is there enough money for us to maintain this lifestyle? And, you know, call it what you want, financial roadmap, financial Bible, so important. And, you know, then we'll close up on this, but I think two things that are very, very important is, one, a plan is only as good as the implementation. For us to hand over this huge three-ring binder with all the different great ideas and suggestions doesn't do any good unless it's implemented. I mean, we're not the only industry that applies to, but it's true. And then the other thing, too, is the update.
Right.
I mean, it's not etched in concrete. Things change. And one of the things that you and I do is every couple of years we show, yeah, here's where your target is and here's where we are today. Are we on target?
Yeah.
Or what has changed? Maybe you've had an influx of money. Maybe the returns were greater. Maybe they weren't as good as we were expecting and so on. Okay. Let's move on to tax planning before we have to go to a break. So while somehow connected a little bit, because if you're contributing to retirement plan, it does help reduce your taxes. But tax planning itself is quite a significant area of a financial plan. There's not many people I know that like to pay taxes. How about you, Leticia?
No, not a fan.
I've been in the business now 26 years, and my first year in the business, I learned this quote, and it has stayed with me. And it's by Judge Learned Hand, 1934. He was a judge that worked in both politics and taxes. And it sounds like one does not need to arrange his affairs so that it best benefit the treasury. Mm-hmm. So that's someone who was instrumental in writing the tax laws to say, hey, don't give all your money to taxes.
Yeah.
Pay what you're legally supposed to pay, but do what you can to not have to pay as much.
Right.
And I hopefully can't think of anyone that wouldn't agree with that. Another thing that I think is super important to understand the difference between along those lines is tax evasion and tax avoidance. Mm-hmm. So Leticia, what's the difference between the two in simplest terms?
No, you go ahead.
It's 20 years in prison.
I'm avoiding that question.
So I would encourage our listeners to, you know, work with a good planner and use anything that's available. Now, I will tell you, after all these years in the business, it is becoming more and more difficult every year. The new tax laws last year, although it does provide a few tax benefits, it also takes away tax avoidance strategies, if you will. You know, use to the max any retirement plan that you can do. We're in California. Use, if you can, up to the maximum on the mortgage deduction. There are other things that we'll talk about in a future show, but I think that's really important to maximize all that you have.
And I would say that there's always changes. And what's important is we're not by ourselves here. We work with a team, and we always work with their individual professionals. So it might be their attorney or their CPA. But alongside these other professionals, we're able to really put our heads together and come up with the right strategic plan for each individual person so they are the most tax efficient possible. And then we go from there, and then we're able to create their plan that's really specific to what their objectives and goals are.
Totally agreed. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare. By 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
All right, we're back with Bart, the Batman and Robin team of retirement planning here. Hey, I got to ask you a question because I'm closer to this question than you guys are here. I'm in my early 60s here. And the one thing that scares the heck out of me is the unexpected health crisis. For example, my dad was an executive for Chrysler, very well planned out retirement. He had a pension. He had money saved. He'd paid off his house. He did everything right. He didn't know my mom was going to get Parkinson's disease. Mm. And that killed all this. He waited for all the trips he was going to take, all the things he was going to do, all went out the window. Met a guy a while ago. Again, same thing. Saved, planned, had it all laid out. His wife got fibromyalgia. And he said, I didn't know we were going to spend our retirement, you know, just watching her sit in bed all day. Yeah. I know there are other things, the long-term health care. People don't realize. Another guy come in here, said his dad had millions of dollars. He was some Hollywood producer, I think, or something. And it all got pissed away because he ended up getting into long-term. He had like
dementia. Long-term,
yes,
care.
Long-term, like 10 years of it. And it burned through that and everything the family could come up with. Talk about those. I don't think we don't have long-term health care insurance. We don't plan for this. We've got all this happy planning done. Other upside of this, we're going to be the longest lived generation in history. So the likelihood of getting dementia goes up. Yeah. Talk about that.
You have a great point. So that is actually one of our key points that we're going to talk about. And you actually were able to skip ahead. So thank you for sharing with us, your concerns, because we actually call that risk management and / insurance. But that is absolutely super important as far as people planning for their needs. There's a lot of different strategies that we can put in place to be able to protect them. And we actually plan for that. So Bart, you can elaborate a little bit more. I don't know if you want to, go to the risk management.
Yeah, we'll cover it now. So people buy insurance for things they can't afford or don't want to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
So one way to address it is, you pretty much called it, Paul, it's called long-term care insurance. If you're, if you're relatively healthy and relatively young, like Paul, your age or younger, it's reasonable, but it really does address those concerns. And we've seen it before time and time for people who have come to us maybe at, too late, where it's sad that they've worked so hard and so long. And the other part of that, and it's going to sound so totally contrary for someone that does what we do, is we encourage people to enjoy their lives today as well. Within reason, right? Still thinking about the future.
Yeah.
But so many people, and I was telling Letitia earlier about my, kind of like my ex-in-laws, save, were so frugal, saved a lot of money, but lived so frugally throughout their life. And he just passed away and she's not doing great. So we are big believers in living life to the fullest while still thinking about the future and then being wise and protecting yourself.
Yeah. But there's there's also the long-term care. There's different investment vehicles that you can invest in to be able to diversify your portfolio so you're not having to deplete all of your assets in those tragic situations. And there's some tax deferring on that as well. Yeah. So there's strategies in place that, and we'll probably elaborate more during that specific segment, but just to throw out that there is solutions too.
It's such a big segment, Paula. We're going to cover probably a whole one just on long-term care, but the traditional long-term care has gotten very almost priced out of out of reach. Mm-hmm. So there's other ways to try to accomplish it. But since we're on risk management, we can finish covering that. When it comes to insurance, there's a saying that at least we have is you don't want to pay too much for insurance, but you also don't want to pay too little.
Right.
Paying too little means sometimes, you get what you pay for. You want to make sure something's going to be around when you need it, et cetera. We're big believers, although it's kind of out of our realm, but it's still part of financial planning, umbrella policies.
Mm-hmm.
Umbrella policies are so darn affordable.
Yeah.
I mean, most of our clients have between $5 and $10 million.
Yeah.
And the cost is maybe, under a couple thousand dollars a year.
Well, you want to know, a good rule of thumb is you want to make sure you have enough umbrella coverage to protect your net worth and your current income.
Yeah. Kind of close up on the risk management or insurance planning. You know, while we work, we have disability insurance, at least most of us do or should, and that protects our income.
Yeah.
But the long-term care is kind of like the trade-off. It's of passing the torch from disability to, now let's protect our wealth.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and because it's part of kind of who we are as well, Letitia, is because we're both into health and fitness, is protecting yourself, your health while you're working. So many people forego their health to obtain their wealth, and then they get to a point where now they're going to use all their wealth to try and regain their health.
Yeah,
you know,
so true.
It's sad, but so we're big proponents. Take care of yourself, live a good life, and then think about the future. All right, so that's three. We've covered three. So our retirement planning, tax planning, risk management. We've got a couple more to do. We have investment planning. That's probably one of the biggest things of our practice is managing people's money, managing their wealth, integrating it with their financial plan. We're today not going to get into strategies and theories, et cetera, but just talk about some just kind of generalities. One is keep a long-term time horizon.
Mm-hmm.
If for anyone who has watched Mark the last couple of days, we've seen swings of, you know, 600, 700, 800 points up and down, up and down. Now, I'm referring to the Dow Jones. From a point perspective, it's not as big a percentage as it was years ago because the Dow was so high. It's just a matter of math. But still, it's a little scary. But if we look at things in the longer-term time horizon, look at every 5 years since 1930s, look at every 10-year time horizon, investing in a diversified portfolio more often than not, and almost in every case, especially at 10 years, provides one of the best returns available. And we think it's super important. The rule of 72... I don't know how many listeners have heard of that, but it's a rule or a formula. Can't figure out how it works, but it's true that you can figure out how long it takes for you to double your money. So if you take 72 and let's say you divide it by 6, the answer is 12. So it takes 12 years for you to double your money. And then sometimes in planning, we'll go the other way. It works the other way. So what if I need to make my retirement successful, I need to double my money in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Divide 10 into 72, 7.2. That's how many years it would take.
Yeah.
Again, don't know how it works, but that's a great, just kind of a general rule of thumb.
Yeah. As far as investments, it's just a little off topic as well, but how many listeners out there actually even know how to log in to see their portfolio or as last time they've even spoken with their financial advisor? I mean, these things I think are also so important to actually know what they have, to understand. Are they prepared for their current market? Do they understand where their portfolio is? Do you know what that looks like? So I always encourage people to at least be familiar with what you have. And, you know, are you reaching out to your advisor? And do you have that relationship that you know what's going on with your portfolio for your retirement?
Right. That's an excellent point. Really, really important. One of the things that we've learned over the long term as well is people's emotions when it comes to investment losses are significantly greater than they are their emotions for a gain.
Yeah.
So if we show someone that they earn 10%, they're like, wow, that's really great. Good job, you guys. If we show them they've lost 10%, some of them just lose their marbles.
Right.
You know, so that there's not a, it's not a direct correlation between that. It's definitely indirect by 2, 3, 4-fold on the losses.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people should be cognizant of that when they're investing and realize that, hey, like last year, for instance, the stock market had a phenomenal year. A lot of people didn't get that kind of return because they were diversified. Much better off having a safer portfolio. One of my favorite all-time quotes as it pertains to investing, Warren Buffett, be fearful when others are greedy, greedy when others are fearful. So you take the emotion,
so true.
You got to take the emotions out of investing. And if it's a company you liked at $10 a share, that's now on sale for $7 a share, go in and get it.
Yeah, that's my favorite line.
All right. Anything I missed on investments, Letitia?
I think we'll dive in a little deeper next time and definitely talk about volatility and diversification.
Perfect. Okay, good idea. All right. So estate planning, some people don't know what that term means or are familiar with it. I have a simple definition. I say it's the accumulation of and ultimate distribution of your wealth. You could also call it estate planning / legacy planning. Kind of depends on where you are in the in the net worth scheme. Some people's goal is that the very last check that they write bounces to the mortuary.
Mm.
And then some people have want to take care of their family for generation and generation, not have them work.
Yeah.
We're not here to say what's right and what's wrong. We're here to help people say, hey, what do you want to accomplish?
Let's create strategies to be able to reach their goals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And things have really changed there with the recent tax law change. What was once, so an estate tax, let's back it up for a second. An estate tax is a tax that you pay upon your demise. And if you're married, it's upon the second death. So what was $5.5 million per person as of December 2017 is now $11.2 million per person, which is $22.5 million per couple. Leticia, what's the percentage of people who will actually pay an estate tax these days?
Oh, it's so minimal. It's so minimal. So I would say only 8 per 10,000 people will actually owe a federal estate tax under the new rules. So there's a lot of changes, but just along what you're saying is even if your estate isn't, you know, part of that 11.2 million or now being affected by the 22.4 million, you will definitely want to have an estate planner review your situation, because you might have such a complicated estate plan now that it's going to cause you more issues. Or when's the last time you've had it reviewed, because rules have changed and laws have changed.
Exactly. And speaking of change, these rules we're speaking of now, they all revert back to 2017, January 1st of 2026.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that your plan is flexible enough to accommodate that. There are so many things that can be done to help reduce estate taxes. If you happen to have an estate that falls above the 22.5 million, there's charitable trusts, there's different types of trusts. We'll save it for another show, but just know that it's available. Okay, last area is business succession planning. We're running pretty short on time, but just from a general standpoint, turns out that only 70% of, if it happens to be a family business, only 70% of family businesses will survive, or don't take this back. Don't survive the second generation. So only 30% survive a second generation. 12% will survive the third generation, and less than 3% will fail in the fourth generation and beyond.
So it's great to have people in place to help them with their legacy and actually get their family members involved ahead of time, so that way that they're able to change that statistic.
Exactly. And there's so many ways. If it's not going to go to a family, there's so many ways to get some liquidity out of a business. You can do an asset sale, a stock sale. You can do an installment sale to defer taxes. An owner can recapitalize by doing debt. So lots of things. Make sure if you're getting ready or even thinking about selling a business, make sure you talk to your advisor.
Well, we can be talking here all day long, Bart. This is what we love. So in closing, overall, I think that we have so much to share. Financial planning is definitely a passion that you and we have for people.
Yeah, totally agreed. And yeah, the time just always flies by when we're here. So look forward to the future shows where we talk in each more detail. So technically, Leticia, you are my guest today, technically.
Yeah.
So you know what I do. I have to ask the final thought question. So share with us your ultimate lesson learned.
So I would say under financial planning being the theme is invest in yourself and take the time to plan. And plan in your future. If you don't, who will?
Couldn't send it better. Leticia, thanks for joining me today. It's always great to have you around, helping me on a daily basis, and especially to have you here on the show.
Thank you.
For anyone who wants to know more about Leticia, you can reach her at www.optivestinc.com. Thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in. We look forward to being back in the studio next week. Cheers.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show, or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.
The Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. The content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Bart Zandbergen, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.